Good morning. I'd like to thank everybody for joining us on this beautiful, a little bit foggy morning here in South Florida. This time of year, Kananahara, South Florida, is probably one of the biggest active Jewish communities. We have people here that live here, besides a few that trickle away for vacation, together with all the people from up north that came to visit. So, Baruch Hashem, there's a lot doing here. But there's also a lot doing this week. There's one of the unsung holidays in Jewish calendar comes up this week. In later years, it's gotten a little bit more attention. And I'm referring to the holiday of Tu B'Shvat. Tu B'Shvat is almost higia, is almost here. And of course, I do think it's become more popular to spread to people who have their fruit platters, they like having shachianus on the day of Tu B'Shvat, the Rosh Hashanah for trees, fruits. But there's another aspect of the Yom Tov of Tu B'Shvat. And for sure, I would say in a city in New Jersey, which based on stats is the most rapidly growing city, for sure, for home prices doubling in America, and that is Lakewood, New Jersey. Lakewood, New Jersey, home of the famous Lakewood Yeshiva, the holiday of Tu B'Shvat takes on a greater significance. For those who know what I'm talking about already snickering and laughing, for those who do not know, Tu B'Shvat is a very big holiday in Lakewood because that's when the freezer opens. Lakewood is famous for having a freezer. Now, that freezer is not what people have just to store their extra government program frozen foods. But rather, the purpose of a freezer in Lakewood is the yeshiva set up years ago. They didn't want people coming to yeshiva just for the sake that you're learning Lakewood, now you're ready to start dating. And they want people to be able to focus in yeshiva, first and foremost, on learning. So the Rosh Yeshiva instituted a policy that for the first 6 months, the first half of the year that a Talmud is in yeshiva, he cannot date. Of course, there's certain exceptions. He could be grandfathered in, that if someone was dating somebody before he got to the yeshiva, then he's allowed to go out with that one person, continue to go out with that one person. But once that relationship is over, if it ends, so then the person would have to wait for dating up until Tu B'Shvat. Tu B'Shvat is when the freezer opens, and let's just say there's a lot of dates happening by this month of Shabbos. So in honor of Nyanu Dioma, and Be'ezus Hashem, hopefully many Shidduchim and Simchas in Klal Yisrael. We need Simchas. So hopefully there'll be a lot of Shidduchim. So I would like to discuss a marriage-related topic, which on the onset, I'll tell you, is not just for young Bachrim and girls in Lakewood. That's Nogea. This is Nogea you. You could be married for Kananahara 40, 50 years. This year is just as much, perhaps even more, Nogea you. But we'll see soon why, if we're giving a share of the importance of a ksuba from the chuppah and beyond. Okay, I guess people married for a while fit into the beyond. But why is it so integral? We will see quite soon. Now, really, the impetus for the share is not the calendar date. That was my cute tie-in and might be a reason why we set it up for this week. But really, this year is based on the story that happened to me just a couple weeks ago. Without elaborating into all the exact details, I was at a wedding up north, and this wedding, actually the location of the wedding was changed, I believe, a couple of times back and forth, where it's going to be because of COVID concerns, issues. And they did it in the Hilton Hotel in Hasbrook Heights, New Jersey. It's basically right outside Passaic. Nice hotel over there, beautiful wedding, everything was great. I was honored with being one of the Adam on the Ksuba. Luckily, I got there on time. I actually traveled in for this wedding. I was up north for a little more than 12 hours. I flew in after giving share. I flew out in time to give share the next day. So didn't miss much. But so I made it on time, Baruch Hashem, to the wedding. I signed the ksuba. The beginning part of the wedding was being facilitated by the Rav of the Chasen, who was not going to be the Masada Kedushin. But many times you have it, where the Masada Kedushin himself will, older Chashav Rosh Hashiva, they come in later, but the quote-unquote, the dirty work, all the paperwork beforehand, the Tanayim, the Ksuba, that's set up by someone else who's there, another Rav who's there. So the Rav was setting up the Ksuba, remember, very meticulous. Before I signed, he asked me to first write my name down and to check the spelling, see if he's comfortable with the way you spell it. We'll talk soon, but any letter off on the spelling in a ksuba could potentially be an issue. So I wrote up my name. The other aide I saw wrote out his name. Debated who goes first. Okay, I signed the ksuba, and okay, smiled for the picture. Everything was great. Fast forward a few minutes later, sitting at the chuppah, actually sitting next to a Talmud of mine from New York, and we were talking, not too loud, the right times. And we're watching beautiful chuppah take place. So the Kedushin gets up there, does the Averson, does the Kedushin. They call up a Chashav Rosh Yeshiva to read the Ksuba. He reads the Ksuba. And I noticed right after that, a couple of the Eidei Kedushin and the Masada Kedushin said something to each other. And the way, I've watched many chasanas, and that already took me, like, what's going on here? No one just gives someone the Ashikayach or this. It looked like there's something going on. And I watched 30 seconds later, the Rosh Hashiva who read the Ksuba was also involved in like some conversation. Okay? Well, I was also involved in my conversation. I went back to my conversation. They called up, the next seven people for all the brachos. Like everything else. But meanwhile, it seems like there's some conversation going on. All of a sudden, at some point, I see the Talmud sitting next to me. He's like, Rebbe, they're calling you up to the chuppah. Like, huh? I got my kibbutz already. I signed the ksuba. Why are you giving me? I see it's the Rosh Hashiva who read the ksuba is motioning for me to come up. And next thing I know, he tells me there's a problem with the ksuba. I'm going to need you to sign again. Do me a favor, find for me the other aid. I'm like, whoa. So quickly, I back from being towards the front of the chuppah into the crowd, I happened to notice where the other aide was sitting. I quietly whispered to him that it might be needed to sign again the ksuba. Be ready. Okay, fine. Meanwhile, the chuppah keeps on going. This particular chuppah, they were singing in Eshkachech. And I remember this, you know, I was back up there by the chuppah. So you know how every chuppah, there's the chuppah, and usually they set up to the right side of it, the small little table, where they have the multiple cups of wine, the bottle of wine with multiple cups of wine. They'll have different props. Maybe they'll put down those candle holders that the shashvin, the parents of the chassid and kala, walk down with, or sometimes put over there. There's a table of what I call the wedding props right there. And I see this Rosh Yeshiva who read the ksuba is frantically writing another ksuba right there. He's like standing and frantically writing. Someone gives me a chair to give to the Rosh Yeshiva. I get him to sit down, and he's sitting and writing and writing and writing. I'm going to pause the scene right here. In fact, my wife told me she was watching the wedding on live stream. So it's a nice new gadget of COVID. Is that Baruch Hashem, a lot of weddings now, they have a live stream. So even if you can't make it to the wedding, but you can watch it. Now, it all depends, very important in live stream, where you put the camera. And they have the camera set up for a nice shot of the chuppah. But the shot of the chuppah perfectly hit not just the chuppah, but all the action going on the side of the chuppah, where they're involved in writing in the ksuba. So my wife told me from home, she's like, what went on with that ksuba? What was going on there? So I think some of the wedding guests may not have noticed because you're watching the chuppah, not necessarily watching the action to the side, and you may not have a keen eye to notice it. But the live stream was focused perfectly to catch all the action, and there was action. What was going on under that chuppah or alongside that chuppah? That's what today's share is about. And I think when we come to explain what this particular mistake in the ksuba was, it's something for people to take note of. You know, Baruch Hashem, there are a lot of details that go into the planning of a wedding. So many things. Obviously, we know the most important things are the ceremony itself, the kiddushin, the nisuin, and those are the areas, obviously, to the best of one's ability, people should make sure that it's done right, and it's important that people know that, you know, mistakes happen, and situations happen, and that's first and foremost why it's so important to have rabbanim, you know, at a wedding, you know, at a surgery, l'havdol. You want to have the best doctor on hand to make sure everything goes well. Well, at a wedding, it's also kedai to have chashuv rabbanim there to deal with situations should they arise, and they do come up. Now, I'll say one more. I'm debating when I should tell the story. It's a great story. I heard years ago that there was a wedding. Talk about mistakes in the ksuba. There was a wedding, and which is sometimes the case, the chassid and kala picked out a ksuba designed by an artist. There are many people that have these fancy paintings, artwork with the ksuba. That itself, you know, they hope maybe to, you know, many people hang up the ksuba in their homes, this beautiful calligraphy, writing, and designs on the side. Why not? Zakeli van Veil looks nice. a beautiful way to the contract of marriage. That's what a ksuba is. So why not display it? Why not have a beautiful ksuba? So I believe the story was that, you know, the Rav was filling out this beautiful ksuba, and they realized there was a mistake. I believe the Rav filling it out was of Yashav Ber Soloveitchik from Yeshivas Rabbeinu Yitzchak Elkanan in Boston. And he's filling out the ksuba, realizes it's a mistake. Okay? Very important. Most Masadur Kedushins, most Rabbanim, they'll bring with their briefcase, right? You know, doctor's bag. So a Rav, a lot of times by a chuppah, has a bag. And inside his bag, he has multiple backup ksubas, backup tanayim, for if there's any mistake, they use those. So here, they're filling out a ksuba, and unfortunately, there was a mistake. But here, the mistake was in this fancy, glancy ksuba. So Rav Soloveitchik went and was going to fill out another ksuba. But he was nervous that being the fact, the backup did not look anywhere as nice as the original. The people, couple, might want, have an urge to keep the original. So he takes this few $100 piece of art and rips it right there. Thus, everyone will know that is not the ksuba. They ain't going to be hung up in their home. You know, sometimes people paste together the broken dish from the tanayim, but they should not piece together the ripped up ksuba. He ripped it into many pieces, probably did not give them the pieces. And rewrote the ksuba. So you got to be careful. Things could happen. Yeah, even if you have a fancy artwork ksuba, a ksuba has to be finished off shas maisa of the chuppah. And sometimes there are mistakes. You have to know that. So firstly, what I'd like to go through today is explaining one of the details of the story. Don't worry, I'll get to the end of the story, what happened by the end of the share. But I'd first like to explain, why is this frantic rush to do this ksuba, you know, right over there? What's the frantic rush? Let them, you know, let the wedding take place, and then later I'll write the ksuba. Why was this Rosh Yeshiva frantically writing ksuba there under the chuppah, which, as we saw, made a spectacle? Why don't we wait till later? Okay, there's a mistake. You know what? We'll redo that later privately. Don't make a big deal. So let me explain where it's coming from. There's a Gemara in Ksubas, the first Mar Malkam on the sheets people have. Remeir Omer, Avram Ashkenaz for giving it out to everybody. Rav Meir Omer, Kol Poseach Lebesula Mimasayim Ulamana Mimana Arezu Bilasnus. Rav Meir says, anyone who does not give the regular value of a ksuba, which is 200 zuz for a besula, first time getting married, and amana, $100, 100 zuz, Arezu Bilasnus. It's an illegitimate relationship, and it would be usher for one to be with the other person. That's what Rav Meir says. Rav Meir says if a ksuba is not done right, there's no ksuba there backing up. A ksuba is a marriage document, it's a contract between the chasam and kala, but it's also protection for the woman. And Rav Meir said, Pashtos, we'll see, this is a gzera, this is a din d'rabbanan. But Rav Meir says, if you do not have a ksuba that has the basic values for the kala, for the woman to collect, then harezu bilasnos. You can't be with your wife. You can't be with this woman. Woman must have a ksuba for the marriage to be currently intact. And the Gemara tells of a story. This is the Gemara a couple blot later, at the bottom of Nun Vav Amud Beis to Nun Zayin Amud Aleph. I'll read the bottom line, which didn't make it onto the sheets. Ach say de Rami Bar Chama, the sister of Rabbi Rachama, Havi Nasvi Avira, was married to Rabbi Avira. Ir his ksubasa. They lost their ksuba. Us, l'kamadir of Yosef, they came in front of Yosef, Amulu. Hachi Amar of Yehuda Mishmol. So give her a mayor. You know, Rav Meir happens to have the position that you can't be alone, you can't be together if you don't have a ksuba. No, person could be with his wife for 2 or 3 years without a ksuba. No such zera, no such halacha, according to the Chachamim. You don't have to worry if a person lost a ksuba. Okay? Eventually, you rewrite one, whatever. But you could be there for 2 or 3 years. It doesn't matter. So right now it seems like a machlokas. If a person lost a ksuba, do they have to, are they usher right now to be with their spouse? So Amalei Abaye said back, of Amar of Nachman Amar Shmuel, Halacha Kremer B'Gzei Rosov. The halacha is like Rav Meir by his gzeros, even though many times we pass him like the Chachamim, the Rabbin, but over here is one example, we pass him like Rav Meir because Rav Meir made very good gzeros. This is one of them. Yachi, if that's so, Zil Kosovo, go write her one right away. So the Gemara simply over here seems to be saying that that there was a case in the Gemara of someone losing their ksuba, and okay, there's a debate what the correct halacha is, but the Gemara comes out that you have to write one right away. Because your mayor holds, you pass them like a mayor, that if you do not have a ksuba, you now will be with one's wife. And the Shulchan Aruch paskins like this. It's Evan Ozer, Simon Samachvav, the next Mar Makom. In Kasavla Ksuba Venavda, person wrote a ksuba for his wife, and the ksuba was lost. O Shemachalalo Shubasa, Galti Shubasa, she was Machalit, she didn't have a ksuba. Sarath Lichtov Acheres, the Ikar Ksuba, you have to write a new basic ksuba. She also La'adun Lishos, and Ishto Sha'achas below ksuba. It's also for a person to be with his wife even for one moment without a ksuba. And therefore, if someone does not have, right, here are the cases which we're going to elaborate on, which is very relevant for people, not just chasan and kalas, but in some ways more relevant for older married couples. You're moving, you're downsizing, you're going to Florida. The biggest issue, where is your ksuba? Don't lose your ksuba. Chas v'shalom, someone loses a ksuba, there's a fire, something happens. Asa l'adam l'shalas and ishto sha'achas below ksuba. It would be not allowed for a person to be with his wife for one moment without a ksuba. I can see on the screen people are getting nervous there. People are sweating. People are turning to their wives right now, asking, do you know where our ksuba is? So hold on. I'll try to solve the problems. Now, let me turn up the heat, though, one more notch. There is somewhat of a discussion within Poskim. What does Rav Meir's Isser go on? I saw there was a mice, and there's some story with someone from the Satmar community that lost their ksuba going back years ago. And the original Satmar Rebbe from America, the old Teitelbaum, ruled that Rav Meir's din is be'ikr, at least be'evad, is be'ikr that a husband can't be with his wife, can have relations with his wife without a ksuba. But in terms of an Isser Yichud, one could be makel, they could be alone in the same house until they write a new ksuba. However, smashmul from the Rambam, the Beis Shmuel, the Chalkas Machokek, and really that's the Lashon of the Shulchan Aruch. Asar la'adam l'shals in ishta sha'achas. You're not allowed to remain with your wife even for one moment. Pashas, it's talking even iser yichud. Simply from this Shulchan Aruch, it seems that there would be an iser yichud. And this, I believe, is the way most can treat it. Okay, it could be sometimes you could be mekel. Call your rav. But a person who doesn't have a ksuba, pashtus, it seems, there's an iser yichud. One is not allowed to be alone with one's wife without a ksuba. Now, this itself explains to us why they were so frantically trying to write another ksuba under the chuppah. Because what happens after they leave the chuppah? They'll dance them straight into the yichud room. Chasan and Kala are going to be alone. But if there's no kosher ksuba, you run into Reb Meir's problem. That's why they're frantically writing the ksuba. Now, luckily, you have some time, right? Especially if the singer belts out a nice im eshkachich, and there's a lot of friends and family to hug and dance with the chasan and kala, and sometimes the route from where the chuppah is held till you get to the yichud room could be a 10-minute journey. So you have some time, but it's still frantic and you still have to give it over. So that's why the Rosh Hashiva was quite azariz in trying to write this ksuba as quickly as possible, because they're racing against the clock. They have to have this process done before they go into the yichud room. Now, Lamaisa, you already see over here that, and this is just one example, we'll get to in a moment, what was the mistake in the ksuba. But you see that a person has to be on top of the wedding, make sure everything is smooth. You know, who's that person? You know, the father of the chasan, the father of the kala, the chasan. You know, everyone's busy doing their things. For the most part, it's the Masada Kedushin, you know, should be on top of all these things. But, you know, realize these things happen. And the more help the Rabbanim are involved, the better. So that's why they were frantically writing up a new ksuba, is to prevent any problems on the way to the Yichud. Now, I came across a very, very interesting Mar Melka. And as we said, we described the situation of how this case came about. It happened after the reading of the ksuba. After the Rosh Hashiva got up, read the ksuba, all of a sudden light bulbs went off, there's something wrong. I still haven't told you what was wrong. Let's see, sir. Now, if you ask most people, why is it that we read a ksuba? Talking even most knowledgeable people, they probably would quote to you Tosas and Psachim, Daf Kuf Yud Beis and Beis. Daf Yomi will get there sometime, the relatively near future, before Pesach. But Tosas over there in Arvi Psachim discusses the idea of, okay, utilizing multiple kosos for things, potentially making different brachas on multiple cups of wine. And they bring up the issue by a chasana, utilizing multiple kosos. So the last couple lines of that Tosas on your sheets. Tosas writes, "Va'ud dinagu likros ksuba benosayim." They normally read the ksuba between the kedushin, the erusin. Read the ksuba, and then you do the nisuin, shavu brachos. V'havi hefsek. By reading the ksupa in between, they make a hefsek. It's a pause in the action. They set up, you know, we want to have two kosos. Halachically, look earlier in Tosos, there's a ma'ilot to have two kosos, but there's shalos of brachos, shalos of utilizing the need for those two kosos. So if you make a break, you make a hafsaka, what's the hafsaka? The hafsaka is reading the ksuba. So Pashup Shad from this Tosos seems to come out that there's no real reason to read the ksuba. It's just, you know, it's one of these halachic tricks that we said about, you know, you want to have a Shabbos meal and then have Shalosh Shuddos right after. You use your dessert for Shalosh Shuddos. So what do? You have your meal before, you know, you'll bench, take a walk around the block, and you come back for dessert, right? It's a hefsek. So sometimes there are things we're allowed to do. It's not together a bracha shingon tricha. It's a halachic eitzah of how to do things. So too over here, Tosa says we read a ksuba to create a hefsek between the kedushin and the nesuah. Based on that, there's no real big kibud in reading the ksuba. And this is what many people say. You know, it's become in society a lot of times, you know, the Masada Kedushin is a chashuv kibud. But right after that, you know, of the most chashuv kibudim, there's Eidi Kedushin, first bracha, the last bracha. But many times, you know, the second to most chashuv a person, or depending on different sides and not ranking people, but people give a very chash of a person, the reading of the ksuba. But the ace of this Tosos is not really giving him anything of major substance. You know, it's a pause in the action. But I found there's a sefer, it's brought down in the sefer ksuba kil chaso, Piske Chachme Ashkenaz Vitzarfas. Goes back hundreds of years. It writes, Minut Kanenu, it's a minute going back many generations. Hikros is a ksuba that we read the ksuba by the wedding. Ziknei hir v'chachameha. Who reads the ksuba? Zakenim, chachamim, great people. But why do we read it? Different than what Tosfos said. Different than the famous Tosfos. Leida nichtava al yosha. Check if it was written properly. This is gufa the reason we read the ksuba. We read the ksuba publicly under the chuppah. Let's check. Was this done properly? Now, if anyone knows, probably the most talking done by a chuppah is done, you know, by the reading of the ksuba. And, you know, a lot of times there's a person up there, it's all Aramaic. That's probably where part of where the expression comes, it's all Aramaic to me. You know, Gemaras are hard to read sometimes, but a ksuba is definitely not an easy read. You know, they haven't yet been mechabed me with reading ksuba. I don't want to practice that one. It's not even I've read, but that's not tough Aramaic like ksuba is. So a ksuba, you know, people don't usually pay attention. But zakt, the minhag kadmonim was for the zakenim or chachamim to be the ones reading the ksuba to check if there are any mistakes. That's why it's read. At this particular wedding, now firstly, obviously, see from here, you should give the kriyas ksuba to a chashuv person. There's a good makor for it now. But he's playing a very important role. Messiah Kedushin does the Kedushin. But to read the ksuba, to check over one last time, is everything done here properly? And while in the wedding that the story began with, the Rosh Hashiva sitting there reading the ksuba, the Eidei Kedushin were also paying close attention. Together between the two of them, they noticed the following issue. It said the Ksuba always has inserted the names of the Chasam and Kala, but it also has the place, the date, when it's happening. It also has the place where it's taking place. In that particular Ksuba, what happened was they wrote Hasbrook Heights, but they did not write New Jersey. Usually in the Ksuba, you write exactly where it is. Also, Shalom Khan, but Brooklyn, New York. Here it said Hasbrook Heights, but they left out New Jersey. You're missing something in the place. That was a mistake in this particular Ksuba. I felt horrible. I looked back, I'm standing up there, and I found out what the issue was that left out New Jersey. I looked back to the inside of the person who actually set up the Rav, who wrote, filled out the Ksuba. I looked at him, he had this frantic look on his face. He looked. Yikes. It's embarrassing. Now, for the record, I felt bad too. Like, I'm an aide who signed the Ksuba. Maybe I should have caught that. So I felt a little bit better doing research on it. You know, I've been an aide on the Ksuba multiple times. So sometimes I do remember that the Masada Kedushin would tell me, why don't you look over the Ksuba, and then you'll sign it. Most of the time, the person setting up the Ksuba doesn't ask for that. I checked up in Halacha, you do not need to ask for that, okay? According to definitely many opinions, you do not need to ask the aide to sign. It's like anything else, you know what you're signing, it's not like super. These two people are getting married, sign on the bottom. It's probably better than most of the contracts we sign, right? Nowadays you sign this, you sign that. Hey, you read all the fine print. So, yeah, I know what I'm signing, these two people are getting married. But to check over the details, usually the Eidim leave that up to the person, the Masada Kedushin, the Rav, setting up the Ksuba. So here, unfortunately, the Rav made a mistake. He forgot to write in New Jersey. I think personally, lean either, but the next time I'm an aide on the Ksuba, I probably will not forget the story. I'm going to try to look over the Ksuba to see if I can catch any mistakes ahead of time so we don't have to frantically rewrite things under the chuppah. But that's one of the issues. If there's a mistake in the place, that's a problem. That could be a mistake in the date. That could be a problem. Could be a mistake in the names, either leaving out a name or the spelling of the name. That could be a problem. There are multiple mistakes that can happen in the Ksuba, even though, for the most part, the basic form of the Ksuba is pre-written. It's pre-printed. You're just filling in blanks in a few spots. That would be a problem. Now, one of the things that also came up as a potential way, some might ask, why is it that we are rewriting a whole Ksuba? Why didn't we just, okay, you know, add in New Jersey? Here's the thing. You can't just write New Jersey. It's a signed document. You can't just add on. Look, there's more room in the line. Hasbrook Heights is a big line. It's right there, New Jersey. You just falsify the shtar. You added something after it already was signed. You can't do that. You have to disqualify the whole shtar unto itself. So you'll say like this, no. Why don't we write an asterisk, and on the bottom, we'll put in New Jersey. I won't add it to the top. I'll clearly show I'm not cheating. I'm not adding this in after the test. Right? Good line to say with tests coming up. Right? I'm not going to add this to the text on top. I'll add it to the bottom. It's also a big dispute. Not so simple. The bottom of the Ksuba, you write the Lashon, Hakol Shrir V'Kayim. It's all good. And then you sign on the bottom. Once that line's written, you can't add anything to it. There are some that say, what do you mean? But why don't I do that process again? I'll write B'makom Hasbrook Heights, New Jersey, a Kol Shirivikayim, and then Sun Eidim the second time on the bottom. So it's like two parts, the base, the first ksuba, and the addition with also a Kol Shirivikayim. Most postmen don't go for that, and that's also something which under the chuppah, you know, was brought up, but it was rejected. Also, you know, that self, people are nervous about it. You know, they look at their ksuba and it's like, you know, it doesn't look good, doesn't make people feel good, and most poskim are not comfortable with that. So that's why pashtus, we were writing a new ksuba. I want to go through now a few more halachas, practical halachas for ksubas, not just, okay, we talked about mistakes in the ksuba, but now let's go back. We started mentioning before, what happens if a person loses their ksuba? Let's go through a few of those practical halachas before I circle back to the resolution of our case. So, one, I think, most practical halacha people should walk away from this share today is you got to know where your ksuba is. It's very important. A person should know where your ksuba is. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean you have to have it in your house. I saw a post could bring down, you're allowed to store a ksuba in your vault, in the bank. You don't have to have a ksuba in the same city you're in. Right? A person has two homes, New York and Florida. You don't have to have ksubas for each home. One ksuba is sufficient, providing you know where it is. I know that someone didn't ask me. I know generally where it is. It's somewhere in this closet. Yeah, okay. As long as you know it's somewhere in the closet, I don't know if you have to pinpoint exactly. It's in this closet somewhere with all my papers. You know, it might be one of those things you might want to know better where it is to look at it. But as long as you generally know where a ksuba is, so then it's okay. Now, again, this might be a reason people would, you know, this I'm talking to Chassan Kalas, love Dafka to redo a ksuba. I'll talk about that. It's not so simple. But, you know, there is good reason. If a person has a nice ksuba, they want to hang on their wall, they'll know where it is. So that's a good eitzah. But, you know, things do happen. You know, houses, things could be misplaced for sure during moving. Chas v'shalom, a fire or a flood, who knows? People should be aware where the ksuba is kept. And chas v'shalom, there's problems. The first phone call, you got to call a rav. Now, here I'll give you the inside track, okay? After the share, I'm going to get a phone call. Someone's going to call, like here. After the share, our Sunday activity was a treasure hunt around our house to see if we could find the ksuba. One second. Did someone lose their ksuba here? Yeah, okay. Now, someone was asking me on the earlier point, you know, why can't you just make that change? And then the Eidim resigned on the bottom. So there are poskim that would allow for such a thing, but most poskim do not allow such a mess. At once there's a mistake in it, they think the right thing is to rewrite the whole ksuba. No, even in a situation like this, where it's up against time, you know, poskim will say that. Now, if, you know, you're in a treasure hunt looking for your ksuba, and then, oh no, I get the phone call. We can't find it. It's not there. Or a person knows, oh my gosh, yeah, I left it, you know, in my old house. Who knows what it is? Someone junked the whole house. Yikes. I gave it away to Seamus with some old sfarim. I left it in my ksubas gemara. You thought that was cute years ago, but then when you gave away that gemara, it's not so cute anymore. Oh no. So what does one do? So the first Eitzah is take off your watch, if you have a nice one, give it to your wife, and you'll be okay. If you have something which is worth the value of the Ksuba, okay, I am not evaluating right now people's possessions, but something of value and worth, you could give it to her, which would be equivalent to the value of a Ksuba. The Shulchan Aruch Poskim talk about such an idea, Shas Adchak. You could give over something the value of the Ksuba. Again, the Ksuba is a marriage contract, and the whole Gzeira of Rav Meir, that if you don't have a Ksuba, Rav Meir wants to make sure that Jewish girls are protected. So here, she's going to have the money. She's protected. Chas HaShalom, if you leave her. So give her something of value equivalent to the Ksuba. And for the interim Shas Adchak, that'll be good. This is very Nogea. Let's say Chas HaShalom, a Ksuba gets lost on Shabbos. There's no heter to rewrite a Ksuba on Shabbos. How's the husband going to be with his wife? Even be alone with his wife? So, you give her something of value. Say, okay, if I had a fire, I lost everything, I don't have anything of value. Different story, okay. Borrow something or whatever. Get someone to give you something. Now, if a person loses the ksuba, it really is lost, so then you have to rewrite a new ksuba. That ksuba has to be written a little bit different nusach than the average ksuba. It's called a ksuba d'irkis. Actually, like the lashon of the Gemara that we read on Nunzayin, irkis ksubasa, someone who lost the ksuba, the Aramaic. And you write a new ksuba, but that ksuba has to identify that this is a ksuba written for a ksuba that was lost. And I saw a very interesting naftamina brought down. I was going through the Shulchan Aruch, right over there, Siman Samach Vav. I found Piskei Tshuva. Piskei Tshuva debated the following scenario. Someone lost their ksuba. They rewrote a new ksuba. When they rewrote the new ksuba, they didn't remember like how much money they decided to give their wife years ago. Maybe they remembered. Decided to give different. And they gave a different monetary value in the second ksuba versus the first ksuba. And for halakhic discussion, it doesn't matter whether it was more or less money. Either way. And though a while later, the woman finds the original ksuba. So what do you do? Do you go after the first ksuba? Do you go after the second ksuba? So I believe it's a debate. I saw that Piskei Tshuva, so it came out one way. Then I happened to see Reb Kiva Eger on the side of the Shulchan Aruch, and I realized he's arguing on it. So it's machlokas achronim, what to do in such a case where you have different levels of obligations. Do you have to keep the first word you said, the second word? Do we do the second one more updated? Do we do the first one more binding? And the second ksuba was only there as a replacement for the first. But once you find the first ksuba, the second one, the ksuba that, for something that was lost, okay, that was a backup, that was a spare, and I go back to the original. Or do I say no? You change the terms, and now this is binding. So that's machlokas achronim. Obviously, it's best to try to do things the same way the second time. Okay, so that's, I think, a decent amount of halachas here for us, whether you're getting married and you have this ksuba right there, and versus, you know, person's married for years, but in their travels over life, they're not sure where their ksuba is. Okay? Big halachic issue. Let's get back to my story. So, the Rav, when he read the ksuba, is frantically rewriting the ksuba. I was standing up there, ready for my part to sign again on a new ksuba. There, you wouldn't light a lashon there. You know, the first ksuba really never effect. I mean, maybe it is, okay? I want to say it's a ksuba betos. But is frantically writing the new ksuba. All of a sudden, the way this hall was situated, right the chuppah was, I guess, the front of this ballroom. Right behind the chuppah were two doors to the kitchen. All of a sudden, the two doors to the kitchen open, and out comes the chef. No. Out comes the two Eidei Kedushin. In the meantime, with all this hak, they got on the phone and they called up Rav Shmuel first, who today is one of the biggest poskim, you know, might be the biggest poskim in America today. And they called him up, got through to him with the shayla, asked him what to do. So Shmuel first poskimed that obviously he's supposed to write New Jersey, that's a mistake. But the Dieved, the first ksuba could be kosher, providing there's no other place in the world called Hasbrook Heights. They wrote Hasbrook Heights. That's the place. Now, usually we identify it with New Jersey, with the state. It's like saying Yosef and Shimon. There's two Yosef and Shimon. So we write New Jersey. He said if you could find that this is the only Hasbrook Heights in the world, then the ksuba will be fine. If there's a second Hasbrook Heights, you're in trouble. Now, Rabosai, do you know how common city names are? Let's say the case would have been you wrote Brooklyn without New York. Everyone knows where Brooklyn is. Of course, come on. Haim Shekhasna took place in Brooklyn. I remember this as a kid. Every year there's an auto race in Brooklyn. It doesn't take place in Borough Park. It takes place in Brooklyn, Michigan. This is Brooklyn, Michigan. Okay, you write Florida. Do you know there's a city upstate New York called Florida? Pick a name. Hollywood, come on. All right, pick a name. Tell me where, you know, there isn't the same name somewhere else. Many, many names. Clifton. Huh. How many Cliftons are there? America, Europe. Who knows? Well, one of the other aides, and one aide is on the phone talking to her by first. The other aide is hearing his answer. Quickly Googling, checking up Hasbrook Heights, put it into Waze. It turns out that's the only place, at least in Waze's mind, that in the world that's called Hasbrook Heights is Hasbrook Heights, New Jersey. Thus, b'dieved, the ksuba was fine. They stopped the process of writing a new ksuba. And Mazel Tov, they lived happily ever after. Be'ezat Hashem, all stories of chasnas should end with a happy ending. You know, when you give over a ksuba, right? Chasn gives it over to the kala. Kala gives it over to a mother. Masada Kedushin turns to them and says, Admei Ve'esrin. You know, the marriage contract, Be'ezat Hashem, should be a keser shel kayama, should be a marriage that lasts forever. And, you know, sometimes I guess you'll find the marriage lasting longer than the ksuba. And in those cases, you better make sure to know what to do once you realize you lost your ksuba. Thank you very much. Wishing everyone a wonderful week. Thank you for listening.